and number six. And there may be more, but I just want to give you a few. Hindrances to faith. A negative environment can be a great hindrance to faith. And all the older Christians said amen. Sometimes well-meaning people in the church, full of doubt and unbelief themselves, are so full of words of doubt and unbelief. I call them ministers of doubt. You know, Paul said, I'm a minister of the New Testament. I'm a minister of the Spirit. I call them ministers of doubt. They go around ministering doubt. And I'm sad to say, but it is that way. I'm sad to tell you, young people, but you will find that in the church. You will find that in the midst of the people who call themselves the Church of Jesus Christ. You will find them full of all kinds of doubts and negatives and, well, wringing of the hands, and I'm not sure about this, and I don't know if we should do this or not, and you will find that. A negative environment, Numbers chapter 13 and 14 is such a good example of that. The 12 spies went out to spy out the land of Canaan, and they found it to be all that God said it was. Hallelujah! Of course, God never lies. But out of the 12 that went, 10 of them looked at it through the natural eye, not through the eye of faith. And 2 of them looked at it through the eye of faith. And 10 of them went by what they saw with their eyes. And the other 2 went by what they saw with the eyes of their hearts. And they all came back. And of course, 10 and 2, that's quite outnumbered. So the 10 started babbling first. And all the other people were affected and infected by the environment of all that doubt and unbelief. And it's that way sometimes. But oh, we praise God for the Joshuas and the Calebs who were so full of faith in what God had said that they were not even intimidated by all those people. Can you imagine the boldness of those 2 men? They must have had an overpowering witness of God in their heart when they stood in front of all those people and said, wait a minute! Wait a minute! Don't think that way! We are well able. Let us go in and possess the land. And the people, they wanted to stone those 2 fellas. Stop those guys from talking. We don't want to hear anything like what they're saying. Let's just get some stones and shut them up real good. But God was watching, and God was smiling at those 2 for their faith, and grieving over the rest for their unbelief and their slowness of heart to believe what God said and promised. And He let them wander and die in the wilderness for 40 years because of this. A negative environment. These are hindrances to faith. How about helps to faith? Number 1, praising God. Praising God. Thanksgiving and singing. Praise and thanksgiving unto God is a help for your faith, brothers and sisters. Oh, yes, Brother Denny, I know. I understand that. And I receive that when I go to church on Sunday. I'm not talking about doing it on Sunday. I'm talking about doing it on Monday. Amen? I mean, you find yourself a little corner somewhere in your house. And if you have to sing into the wall to muffle the sound, you sing into the wall. But you sing! Sing praises! Sing praises unto God, the Psalms say. Oh, the edification, the faith building that comes into your heart when you sing praises unto God. It's like positive confessions being sung out of the joy of your heart, young people. Oh, what a joy. Many times in the prayer room, when you have a convert And they're on their knees there, and they're praying. And you know, you've been through the confession and the repentance, and they've confessed all their sins. And you know, that's kind of a sad time, and it's a heavy time as they're groaning before God and dealing with those things and pulling out of the darkness, putting things in light that they don't want anybody to know about. It's a groaning time, but then after they're finished with that, and we encourage them to look ye all the ends of the earth on the Lord Jesus and be ye saved. And they pray that sweet, simple prayer, calling upon God to have mercy on their soul through the blood and save their soul. I often will ask them then, did God save you? And they'll say these words, yes, yes. Oh, then thank Him and praise Him. And how many times I've and increasing in their heart, and by the time they're finished, overflowing with gratitude to the Lord, they're stronger already. Oh, let us never lose sight of those things, young people. Sing. Sing unto God. Be a fanatic. Let the neighbor hear you singing in the morning. Amen. And they'll wonder, well, I don't know what's going with those people over there, but they do a lot of funny things in the morning. I hope you do. I hope you do a lot of funny things in the morning. Paul was a man who lived by faith. He sang in prison. Amen? I mean, it shook the place, brought an earthquake, and gave him a whole family of converts. Praise God. Just singing in prison, that's all. Are you awake now? Bless God. Number two, pray. Pray, young people. Pray in the old time way, the way they used to pray when the power of God came down. Pray, young people. Building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Jude verse 20 says, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Prayer. Matthew chapter 17, you know, while Jesus and Peter and James and John were up there on the Mount of Transfiguration and beautiful things were happening up there, the disciples were down there in the valley and in real life and trying to cast a demon out of a boy that was tormented, and they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. And Jesus came down off the Mount of Transfiguration, and he just walked up there and groaned a bit in his heart again because, oh, you guys, no faith, no faith. Bring him to me, bring him to me. And he cast the devil out with a word. And after it was all done, the disciples came like wise men and said, Lord, why couldn't we cast him out? And Jesus said these words, it is because of your unbelief that you couldn't cast him out. However, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. Prayer builds faith, young people. Prayer brings faith into the heart. Prayer does that. Find yourself a place of prayer, an exercise, fervent prayer in a closet somewhere, and don't miss it, and do it every day, young people. Pray. I know I'm not telling you anything new. Sorry, no new secret. Same old thing. But why haven't we learned it yet? Pray. Listen to these words that the Apostle Paul spoke as he told the Ephesians how he was praying for them. And he said, I want you to know what I'm praying for you. I'm praying that you will be strengthened with might by God's Spirit in the inner man. Why? That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. When we are strengthened with might by God's Spirit in the inner man, Christ dwells in our hearts by faith. Pray, young people. This is a help to faith, to the life of faith. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I know I'm looking at many different circumstances here. Maybe you don't even have a place where you can go and pray. I don't know, but listen, if you want to pray, you'll find a place to pray. Find a little corner up in the attic somewhere. Get you a few pieces of wood. Build a little closet. Climb in there in the early morning hours and pour out your soul like water before the presence of the Lord. You say, I don't want anybody to hear me. Well, then you just get yourself a pillow and pray into the pillow. But pray. Number three. Fasting. Fasting increases faith and chases away doubt and unbelief. Fasting does that, young people. Fasting. Fasting tunes the eyes and ears of the heart and chases away unbelief. Fasting does that. Jesus didn't say, if you fast. He said, when you fast. Now I know we live in America and there's a fast food place on just about every corner, everywhere you look. And we like to eat and we really enjoy it all. And I know all of that, but dear young people, are we going to just flow down the river with the rest of the world? Are we going to go the same way that everybody else is going? Or is anybody going to turn around and start swimming upriver, bless God? Fasting dispels unbelief. And dear young people, I can say a few things up here to try to motivate you and encourage you and help you to see that it will increase your faith if you will fast and pray. But all the words that I can say couldn't even be measured compared to what you would understand if you would just do it a few times on your own. You would taste the realities of what I'm saying, and that's so much more than me standing up here and telling you. You would begin to realize, when my stomach gets empty, I get more alert to the voice of God. When my stomach gets empty, I find it more easy to keep my mind focused on what I'm doing and praying about. When my stomach is empty, I find my heart more easily broken and humble. And when you're broken and you're humble, you get through to God, young people. And when you get through to God, He'll fill your heart with faith. Fasting. I know I'm probably getting a reputation that's Brother Denny's hobby horse. That's all right. Put it on my list. I don't really care. Really? This is a secret. It's one of the devil's best kept secrets, I'll tell you that. We are Christians in America. We go around with 3 or 4 inches more around the middle than what we ought to have, and leanness in our soul. Fasting. Number four. Helps the faith. The Word of God. The Word of God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith, young people, it comes by hearing the Word of God. You see, the Word of God is very vitally connected to this whole matter of faith. And we will see that more tomorrow as we begin to look at some of the mechanics of all of this and how it gets worked out and lived out in a real world. But young people, the Word of God is vitally connected to this whole matter of the operation of faith in our hearts and our lives. God's Word. God's Word, young people, is God's Word. Did you get that? It's God's Word. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's like a rock it's like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. It's like fire that burns up the chaff. That's what you have in your hands today. It's the Word of God. But oh dear young people, if you don't do anything with it, it's not going to affect you. I agree with what one of my professors told me when I was in Bible school. What you do with the Bible will determine what God does with you. And it's true, young people. It's so very true. What you do with the Bible will determine what God does with you. The Word of God. And may I say this, that verse there, Romans 10:17, that's the Greek word there for the Word of God is not logos, which is the written word, but it is rhema, which is God speaking His Word to my heart. And that's very important for you to learn, because you could just rise up and say, okay, I'm going to put in my chapters today. I'm going to read 10 chapters every day in the Bible, and my whole life is going to be changed by that. Listen, that's not enough. You need to come to the Word of God with an open faith, with a sincere heart, with a longing heart. And if you read the Word like that, it will absolutely transform your whole life. I promise you. I promise you. It will absolutely change your whole life. And it will infuse such faith in your heart that you will not know yourself. The Word of God. Oh, there's so many illustrations of it. We think of the illustration that Brother Keith Daniels uses about D.L. Moody, and how that D.L. Moody, when he was a young man, he longed for God to answer his prayers. He was praying prayers for the souls of men around him, and God wasn't answering his prayers. And he figured that one out. He deducted it. I need more faith. Obviously, because God said, if I have faith and I pray, believe, I'll receive. And I'm not receiving, so God, give me faith. And he prayed this way. God, give me faith. God, give me faith. And I mean, he fasted and he prayed and he groaned before God. God, give me faith. And somehow he thought, you know, that God was just going to come dropping by with a big bucket and he would say, oh, now I have faith and I'm going to go out and storm the world. One day when he was in his closet and he was getting ready to make these prayers before God again, for some reason that day he came in there, and as he dropped down on his knees in the place of prayer, he also opened his Bible up, and not even noticing where it was open, he began to pray the same prayer after groaning for a few minutes and weeping and saying, God, give me faith. He opened up his eyes and looked on the page, and he was in Romans chapter 10. And the eyes of his heart focused in on Romans chapter 10 verse 17. And the rhema of God in Romans 10 17 became a rhema to D.L. Moody's heart. And it was just as if God spoke to his very heart and said, Moody, you have it in your hands, boy. And Moody said that I got up from that day, and he said, I changed my whole schedule. I used to take a few minutes in the morning and peruse over a few verses, and then I went my way and tried to think upon it through the day. But he said, from that moment there in my closet, I changed my whole schedule. I bumped all the other things out of the way so that I would have 2 or 3 hours every day to soak myself in the Word of God. And he opened up his heart to God's Word that way, and God began to use him mightily and answer his prayers in an awesome way that stunned everyone. The Word of God. Faith. Full of faith. Just read a testimony recently of a Japanese man who was a wicked man. He had done many things wrong, and he was thrown in prison. And he was in prison. He had a 35-year sentence in prison. 9 years into his prison sentence, he got born again. Hallelujah. And when he got born again, he really got born again. Amen. His whole life was transformed, and he took the Bible, and he knew, I have many, many more years here in this prison. I'm not going to waste my time. And he set himself to memorize the New Testament, and he was in prison for 16 more years. And in 16 years, he memorized the entire New Testament. That's a good thing to do since you're stuck in prison. Amen. He had memorized the entire New Testament. But not only did he get the whole New Testament in his mind, but he had the New Testament in his heart, and it changed his whole life. And when he left that prison, he left a church in that prison of 200 vibrant members in a prison in Japan. How many stories do you want me to tell you of what God did in the lives of regular old human beings just like you and I, who somehow got a glimpse of what God could do in their life and shook off all the other things, all the frills and waste of time and all of that, and gave themselves to God and His Word. Oh, and how God picked them up. And I don't know what you believe. I don't know if you young people are a bunch of Calvinists or not. Maybe you just think that that was something that God did for D.L. Moody, and God wouldn't do that for anybody else. Let me tell you something today. God didn't specially handpick D.L. Moody to do that. D.L. Moody gave himself to God in such a powerful way that God picked him up and used him. And God is no respecter of persons. And every one of you young people in this room, I'm telling you, every one of you, if you give yourself to God that way and you set yourself and make God's Word a priority in your life, God will shock you what He will do with you. I'm promising you, He will shock you. God is no respecter of persons. He didn't respect D.L. Moody more than me. Amen? I'm not sure if you believe it, but I believe it. John Sung, dear John Sung, he was one of those like Keith Daniels talked about last night. He got born again. They thought he was nuts. They threw him in an assail asylum back when they weren't like they are today. I mean, you didn't have a nice padded cell to live in back then. They stuck you in a room with about 16 other people crawling around all over you. And they threw him in this insane asylum, told him that he was crazy. Thank you, brother. And there he was. Imagine, you put yourself in his place. Weird people crawling all around. People drooling at the mouth and all these kind of things, beating their heads on the walls, and that's not funny, dear friend. And here he is in the midst of that, and he has to deal with the sovereignty of an almighty God. What am I doing in this place? And he broke before God, and he wept, and he said, God, why did you put me in this place? I love you. And God gave him a revelation of Jesus on the cross, and all of a sudden, it looked like the Hilton Hotel. And he said, Lord, how long? What do you want me to do? God said, you're going to be in here for 6 months. God talks to people that way, you know. You're going to be in there for 6 months. Use your time wisely. He read the Bible 40 times in 6 months. And every time, from Genesis to Revelation, from Genesis to Revelation, from Genesis to Revelation, 40 times. It takes 16 hours a day to read the Bible 40 times in 6 months, but he didn't have anything else to do. Maybe God needs to throw us in prison for a while, huh? He didn't have anything else to do. Genesis to Revelation 40 times. All of a sudden, the themes of the Bible opened up before him, and he saw powerfully. When he got out of that nut ward, he got on a boat back to China. He had three doctor's degrees in his back pocket of chemistry and science. He threw them all out in the ocean on the way home and went back and preached the Word of God and shook China. Revival broke out everywhere he went. God's just the respecter of persons. No, here's a man who got a hold of the Word of God, and the Word of God got a hold of him, young people. Help the faith. One more and I'm done. Sorry. I can't miss this one. This is the most exciting one of them all. Help the faith. Turn with me to Romans. Help the faith. Young people. Service. Service. Serve God by living for others. It will do something for your faith that nothing else will do. Romans chapter 10, verse 8 through 10. Hear these words. Romans chapter 10, verse 8 through 10. But what saith it, the Scriptures? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Why? For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. These words are powerful words today. To confess with your mouth the things which you believe in your heart is one of the most edifying things that you can do. You ask any preacher, they will all tell you. There are times at the end of a service in the evening when I can't go to sleep because I've been preaching, I've been confessing with my mouth the things which I believe in my heart. And my faith is so energized because of that, I lay upon my bed and my mind is just going like that. Isn't that right, Brother Moose? Can't go to sleep. Bless God, what a problem to have. If you confess with your mouth the things which you believe in your heart, it builds you up in the faith. It builds you up. Speak the word. Speak your faith, young people. Testify of what God has done for you. It will change your life, dear young people. It will change your life. Galatians, I can't quote the verse, but in Galatians the Bible says, faith worketh by love. That's a very interesting little phrase. Faith worketh by love. You know, as I was looking at that verse, I thought, ooh, I think there's something in there. You know how it is. You begin to smell something. You think, that's the way it was. I thought, there's a treasure in there, and I'm going to go digging for it. Faith which worketh by love. Faith is energized. Faith is activated. Faith is made powerful by love. And until you know what it is to lay your life and your soul out for others and bear their burden, you will not understand this whole matter of faith. You will see God building your faith, stretching your faith, witnessing in your heart, giving you faith to do things and say things you wouldn't ever do on your own. And it never comes until you are willing to take upon yourself the burdens of others. And in the compassion of your own heart, faith is energized. Faith is quickened. Faith is activated. Faith is made powerful in your own heart when you have love and compassion for somebody else. The Greek word is energio. Energio. Faith is activated by love. There's power in testifying, young people. There's inspirations of faith that flow through compassion to others. There are revelations which you receive as you minister to others that you will never touch any other way. You will never know the joy of God flooding your heart with a revelation, a word of wisdom or knowledge for somebody else until you put yourself in that situation and all of a sudden somebody needs an answer and you don't know what the answer is, but they're there and they need it, and out of compassion your heart cries out, God, give me an answer for this person, and boom, just like that, God gives it. Because faith works by love. It works in our own heart by love, and it also works from God to our heart by love. And oh, how the devil works to keep us quiet, amen? Oh, if you can just keep our mouths shut, you know, just sit there on that bench and put in your time, but oh, don't let them start talking. Don't let them get focused on somebody else. Oh, I'll never be able to stop them if they do that. And I tell you, that's my testimony. I'm so excited about serving God, the opportunities to get to serve God. Sometimes I get beside myself and I think I'll lose my dignity. I'm so excited. I'm like a ball of energy on the inside. That faith working by love inside of me. How does that happen? This is a principle, young people. This helps the faith. You want to find out what faith is all about? Give your life away. Lay your life on the line for other people. Well, I had more, but I think I'll be done. I'll be done. Let's pray. Yes, Lord, as we said in the beginning, we say in the end, we love you, Lord. We love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to preach the Word of God. Thank you for the thrill, Lord, that leads to my own soul. Thank you for the growth that you brought into my own life, Father. And because of this privilege, oh God, I pray, write it upon their heart, Lord, with this. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.